Ready to go. Kenyan number one, Kenyan Aleph. We're starting from the beginning one more time. Let's go. The first Kenyan is B'Talmud. The Pella is, what does B'Talmud mean? Learning. So Kenyan, what are the Kenyani had Torah to get Torah is by learning. Shkoyech. Why don't you say one of the Kenyanim getting a degree in medicine is studying it. That doesn't make sense. That's not a Kenyan. That's just a way to do it. Of course, you can't get somewhere without doing the things that are needed. Without learning the information, you're not going to get to know the information. That's Pasha, that's Varam Pshutim. What does it mean it's a Kenyan? All the other Kenyanim at Torah, there's so many different Kenyanim with things that, some of them make sense. You need Anova. That has nothing to do with the actual learning. And if you're not going to have Anova, you're not going to be a Talmud Chacham. You're not going to get the real Torah, the Simcha you need. Dikto Chaverim, you need Tahara, Miyachina, all these things that there's all different kinds of, we're going to have all different speeches about this, about everything over here. But to tell me that a Kenyan is actually learning, that's a very, very big chiddush, and it's what we would say, ta'un beer. So Pashup Shah will start, because we do B'nai Chayil, he explains as follows. This is going to be, I'll show you some Meforshei HaMishnah that say similar types of things, but he says as follows. We know that something about Torah, it's not about only the information that you learn. It's about how it changes you, how it makes you, what you become from learning the Halakha Torah. The Kenyan over here means that you have to be a learner, no pun intended. You have to be a guy that's learning. It's not about the information. It's about the fact that we're learning. We all know the famous vart from the Chafetz Chaim. Famous vart when we say in yesterday's Mishnah comes back empty-handed 10 minutes later. Okay. We say that at the end of every day we say that anu amelam vehenu amelam anu mekam tzchar vehen anu mekam tzchar vehen enu mekam tzchar anu amelam vehenu amelam anu amelam mekam tzchar vehen amelam beenu mekam tzchar. Question, of course, what do you mean they get tzchar just like we get tzchar? They work and they get tzchar for the work. So we work and we get tzchar. We get tzchar upstairs, they get tzchar downstairs. What's the difference? Right? You know the question. You've heard the question. So one of the ways that we answer the question, you want to get a sefer? Of course. One of the ways we answer the question, the Chafetz Chaim basically said, he said it with a mashal. I don't know if everyone knows the mashal that he said. He said there was a guy named Chatzkel. It was Chatzkel the shoemaker. Chatzkel the shoemaker was a shoemaker in the town. He lived in the town, and he was a shoemaker for many, many years. And he became old, and his work started taking a little bit longer. There's another guy, a young whippersnapper. And he decided that he wants to, you know, he's also good at doing shoes. Why can't do it? He opened across the street a shoemaking store. And he started doing it much cheaper. And he did a much better job. His hands weren't shaky and he wasn't old. And he was able to work quicker. And people slowly but surely started to go towards him. I think it might even been in Radin itself. Or in the town that Chafetz Chaim lived before Radin. Something like that. And it was much cheaper also. And it was cheaper, it was better work, it happened quicker. Why in the world did anyone go to the old man? Chafetz Chaim still went to the old man because he felt that was the right thing. Maybe it was midin tzedakah. He said to the Chafetz Chaim, so Chafetz Chaim asked him, people are saying that you're charging more. Of course you're not going to get business. So the guy says, I'm not charging any more. So what do you mean not charging more? It's the same, for the same thing, you charge 2 or 3 times the price that he charges. So you can't tell me you're not charging more. So the guy answered. So the old man said, I want to explain something. He's young. He's a quick worker. And in one day, he could do 20 shoes. Takes him 20 shoes in one day. So think about how much money he makes in one day. For me, in one day, I can only do 2 shoes. So he's charging much more than me. If you go per hour, how much does he get per hour? How much do I get per hour? He's making much more money than me, and he's being much more expensive. For a half hour, he's getting $10, and I'm getting $20 for the whole day. Says the Chafetz Chaim, what do you see from there? That when it comes to anything but limud Torah, has nothing to do with how much you work. It has to do with what comes out. So we say, Anu Amelam Ve'Hem Amelam, Anu Amelam Kam Schar. This is a famous Vart. This is a Vart that everyone says by Siyumim. Anu Amelam Kam Schar. We get Schar for the Amelus B'Torah. We get Schar for Talmud Torah. It doesn't matter if we know everything, and it doesn't matter if we don't know everything. Talmud is that you have to learn. It's about learning. And we know everybody knows someone who went to Reb Shach, and so do I. I mean, I went to Reb Shach, but I didn't get this comment from him. I don't know if I spoke to him personally one-on-one. I went to his house and I saw him, but I never spoke to him personally one-on-one. You go to Reb Shach and ask for a bracha, for a shidduch, he'll give you a good shidduch, or whatever it is. But it's really, what you tell me, if Reb Shach would say, if you go to Reb Shach, and you ask Reb Shach, and you ask Reb Shach, like, I want a bracha to be a Talmud Chacham, what would he say?
Give me a bracha.
Not to, you.
He says to learn!
Say,
you want him to come?
No, he wouldn't.
He would say, "If Shach always said, Bracha always said, so learn." The Siyata Shmaya. The Siyata Shmaya, but it's really dependent. It's dependent on actually learning. The biggest.
It is.
No, Talmud Chacham might not be 100% guaranteed. That will
work. I'm saying, but you can't not get it if you really try.
Right, but it doesn't mean that you'll end up becoming a Talmud Chacham. L'chayru, yes. I think everyone in this room, the answer would be yes, but there can be a thing that there are people that are not
bricks.
Able to become Tamid Chachamim. Tamid Chacham is someone who knows, if you ask him anything, he'll be able to answer quick on the spot. Give me an answer. What we're coming out is that Talmud means to learn. That's what it is. In order to be kind of Torah, you have to be a learner. You're learning because you want to learn. Of course, you're learning because you want to know, and you want to know, and you're working on it, and you're trying to figure it out, and you're learning more. And even if you know, you still have to be learning. A person has to be chazering. We know from all the Gedolim that they were walking around chazering. It's a pella. The smartest people that you can imagine on this earth, and they know so much, they don't stop chazering. It's not a normal thing. Does it make sense that every single year Chaim Kanevsky can make a CM on everything, and that's not all the learning he does? It doesn't make sense. I personally remember, I mean, everyone has a story. Not everyone has a story. People have stories of people they know. I happen to come from Baltimore. I lived on Yeshiva Lane, and I was zeicha to see and hold the door open many times and speak to him and even have a small bechina by Rav Ruderman. And I could tell you what he told my father. When he was in Slabodka, he was in the young 20s, he made a siyum on Shas when he was like 17 years old, and he knew it, klar. And he was chazming his whole life. He told my father that when he was in Sabbath, he used to take walks. He took walks. And on his walk, he would chazer. He took a 6-hour walk. I don't remember. I should really ask my father because I say this over all the time. He took a 6-hour walk. Either it's 6 hours each way, or back and forth was 6 hours, 3 and 3. He would go into the woods in Sabbath and just walk. And then come back. and walk. So he told this to my father. On one way, I would chazer noshim, and the way back, I would chazer nezikin. And he wasn't talking about mishnayis. And then he added, aber nish stam galant. I didn't stam learn. Aber gut galant. He learned well. Whatever that means, I can't imagine, it doesn't make sense. My chiddush is that he had to chazer. Why did he have to chazer? He knew everything. He loved learning, and he just wanted to chazer and chazer and chazer. And that's something that we don't imagine because we're not masmidim enough. I have a line over here from Lev Elyo. Lev Elyo is, who's a Lev Elyo? Lev Elyo, anyone know? Morty, Lev Elyo?
Nope.
Vel Yapian. Yeah? Vel Yapian. So he says over here, and we're gonna be able to bring this down from the Chazanish. The Chazanish said this in many different ways, many different times. There's a Me'iri later on, it's gonna come up, same thing. But right now, I just wanna say over the Lev Elyo, he says, I'm gonna find, here we go, right here. Sticking right out. It says, a person that learns Bahasmada, he can be zeicha to learn Torah properly. Asmada means, is as it says, it's not stop and go, stop and go, stop and go.
It's go.
Go, 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 go. Non-stop.
Go better.
And it's not from one time to another time, it's constant. The masmid, here we go, this is his lashon. The masmid gets a hana bechush mamish. There's a certain type of hana that you feel. And you can't explain it. It's from just the learning and the constant learning. He says, it's like a regular, like a bal taiva. I think all of us know some people who are bal taiva. And we all have taivas in certain things. He says, it's like when you get your taiva, you get every, that's what a master feels like when he learns as much as he can, and he keeps on going, keeps on going. But when you get that, when you eat that ice cream, that's like you're dying for that ice cream with the three scoops with the hot fudge on top and the everything else and you get but when you finish it, it's over. You don't need it anymore. He said the masmid, the difference is that every single word he learns, it's like you're getting that hot fudge on top of the three scoops, but it's you want even more, and here it is right in front of you, the next word. I can't understand it, but I think I can explain it, and we just have to believe it's just more learning and more learning and more learning. That is a Kenyan in Torah. Kenyan in Torah is just learn. That is how to do it. That's one. That's one thing. We're gonna try to get different things about it. I'm just getting started. I know that I'm not going to have to finish everything today, but that's one pshat in Talmud. We'll go through different pshatim. Let me just tell you the different pshatim that I have over here, and then we'll go through B'nai Chayil in its order. So there's another pshat. Talmud means, what does it mean, Talmud? To learn from a Rebbe. And it's sort of the same concept. Don't think that just because you can know the information that that's going to help you be Koina Torah. You have to know how to do it right. And if you're not learning from a Rebbe, this is the pshat that I think most of the Mefarshim learn. It comes from the Maral says it's pshat, it's Feres Yisrael, and the Yavid says it's pshat. Torah is not like a regular thing. You can't just learn it. You have to be a Talmid. Learning is not just facts. Seeing where it's coming from. It's coming from Shemayim. That's what Torah is. And then the other pshat that the Medrash Shmuel says is that you always have to feel like you're missing something. A Talmid, someone who wants to learn, feels like my Rebbe's bigger than me. I'm going to explain what the word Talmid means. My Rebbe's bigger than me. He knows more things than me. and he has information that I would like to know, because I lack information that he has. That's the Pashut simple translation of a Talmud. Someone who is doing Talmud all the time, and there are those who have a Gersa, not Talmud, instead they have the Gersa as Talmid. Someone who's always learning is because he feels lacking a certain amount of information. And I would like to suggest, and I even know that this is the truth, that even the Gedolei Hadar, who know everything, when they're chazering, it's because they want to know it better. And they want to know more of it. And they want to be able to get in a bigger picture. It doesn't... Moshe Feinstein, who knew everything, learned Shulchan Aruch over 250 times, and he learned Shas over 400 times. You think on the 400th time he felt he didn't know it? I think so. Yeah. I think he felt he didn't know it well enough.
They say the more you learn,
I think he didn't know it well enough. He learned it another time because he wanted to know it even better. That's hard for us to understand that, because what do you mean? He knows everything. You can ask him anything, he doesn't give, he doesn't pause. He'll answer you on the spot. But yeah, he wants to know it better.
Don't they say that the more you learn, the more you realize how little you know?
I was talking about Anivas, that how much more there is to know. Right, but I'm talking about learning the same thing that you know already.
I'm saying you feel like you don't know anything.
Right, because you see how much more there is. But I'm talking about even the same thing you're learning over again, 197th time. So if we understand how much they know, we understand that a little bit more is adding to that big picture. Okay, we might not understand that, but that's what a Talmud is. So, it brings down over here that Reb Mordechai Shulman, who's a big Talmud of Chafetz Chaim, said the biggest maifis of the Chafetz Chaim. You see, everyone knows the Chafetz Chaim was the plainest person who was the biggest gadol that we could feel, because everything was so simple. And he did everything so right, so well, and he was really the leader of the whole generation, before the generation above us, I guess we'll call it. I'm saying the Chafetz Chaim was, we're living off the Chafetz Chaim, in everything. I'm saying Mishnah Berurah is daily life. We live off of Mishnah Berurah. There's no halacha that doesn't come from Mishnah Berurah today. There's no house that doesn't have a Mishnah Berurah in it. And there's no person that shouldn't know Mishnah Berurah. So take a look right after davening. I was talking about it. there was a famous story at the Chafetz Chaim, which I saw. Who brought it down? The Chazon Ish said this myself. There was a famous story that everyone knows that the Chafetz Chaim took a dibbuk out of some kind of some girl, I think, had a dibbuk, and Chafetz Chaim had a minion of bachrim at that time that he brought in the house of the dibbuk. He talked to the dibbuk,
no correct,
and he got it out with those 10 people there. I don't know what they said. I wasn't there, but there are many stories about that maimon. And then something happened. They heard a big noise. There was a window cracked, and the dibbuk left. That was the story. So the Chazon Ish said, and it's brought down the sefer called Pe'er Hadar, which is a sefer about the Chafetz Chaim, about the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish said that there were Talmidim, famous Talmidim that were there. One of them was Rechonon Vassman, was part of those 10 Bachrim. There was someone, Rabbi Yo Dushnitzer, who was a tzaddik hador in Bnei Brak, I guess after the war, and the Panovizhirov was also one of the Talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim who were there. They said that they asked, or someone, some of the boys asked the dibbuk, why? What's so chashuv about the Chafetz Chaim? I don't know. They asked. They're schmoozing with the dibbuk. I mean, you have someone that's really from that world over here, and you can find that info, right? So, like, look, what's the hack, you know? The hack was, they asked the Chafetz Chaim, they said, why did people, why is upstairs in the Olam HaEmetz Chafetz Chaim considered Chashev? And Chafetz Chaim wrote this sefer and wrote that sefer. He was Manik Hador, he was Shmir Salashin, he was the one person who never said Lashon Hara, and then everything was through the Chafetz Chaim. It was the Kain Gadol Me'achav. The answer that Dibuk said was, his hasmada, I wrote it down, the words, that his hasmada in Torah is what they're nispol about in the next world. Everything the Chafetz Chaim was zeichet to, in other words, we're able to understand, is because of his hasmada in Torah. Chafetz Chaim, to learn the Mishnah Berurah, was 20-something years in order for him to write the Mishnah Berurah. 27 years, he would sit and he would work and he would plug away and he would learn the sugyas and learn the gemaras and the rashis and the taisus and all the rishonim and go through all the rishonim, early achronim, and try to come out with some kind of halacha. That's murder hard. It's real work. And because of that, that's why the Chafetz Chaim is considered chashev. Not because it's tzidkus. The stories of tzidkus and the Chafetz Chaim are the stories that everyone says over. There's nisim that came out of Chafetz Chaim. There's so many things. That wasn't the story. I'll leave you with another story from the Chafetz Chaim on this token, which is not straight up over here. There's a famous story that the son, either his son or his son-in-law, the Chafetz Chaim, was learning with him a certain sugya that in Hilchos Shabbos, I think it was, that they had to be mevara to write in the Shulchan Aruch, to write in the Mishnah Berurah, psak, what halacha is. They spent 3-4 days straight just on the sugya. And from those 3-4 days, in Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim wrote a line and a half. You hear this? Out of 3-4 days of work, 24 hours or whatever it is, 16, 10, 18 hours a day, they were sitting in a room learning and learning and learning and learning. All they came out with was a line and a half. So his son or son-in-law says to him, when people are going to learn the Mishnah Berurah for years and years to come, are they going to understand how much work we put into that line? I mean, come on. So he gave a mashal, and he said as follows. I love this mashal. The point that we spoke in the beginning is very there. It's not about what you know. It's about what you do. How much are you doing it right? Are you doing it wrong? He said the mashal, which is a true fact. How many Jews or how many people were sent up to Siberia to make the train tracks that go across the whole Russia? It took years and years and years, and they were and people died. There was a very high percentage of people that died because it was impossible. It was so cold, and they weren't given what they needed to be able to keep warm and to build and the food that they needed, and people would just die on the job. And what were they doing? They were making the train tracks in Siberia, across from Siberia. That's what happened. Says the Chafetz Chaim, when it's going to be finished, I don't know if it was finished yet. When it's going to be finished, and you're going to be riding on the train, are you going to, like right over here, how hard it was to lay these train tracks? Is anyone going to be thinking about that? So if you ask the guy that's laying the track, what are you doing? Nobody knows. No one's going to know what you did. They're going to realize how hard the work was. Why are you doing it? He's going to look at you and he's going to say, I don't know, I'm doing it for Mother Russia. This is what I have to do. This is what I was told to do. This is what I'm doing it. Who cares what people are going to say afterwards? If you're doing it because that's what Hashem wants, so that's what you're supposed to be doing. It doesn't matter if it's only a line and a half. It's about what Hashem wants. That's Talmud. That's being able to get Kenyan. That's Kenyan number one in Torah. Mr. Shem Tevi, continue.
Did you finish the tracks?
They did finish. No, now that they finished the tracks, those tracks are the tracks that saved the whole mirror, which is basically what Torah today, both in Eretz Yisrael and America, really has a lot to do with the mirror being saved from Europe from being destroyed during the Holocaust. Actually, that's what it, we realized how good it was. Because they went up from Vilna and they went across the whole Russia. Father.